the prize.
Take advice from the experts and ask a psychic a question.
It's entertainment. It's She Said.
He Said.
On KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a sip, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 99% of the effort today. Usually it's 100%. Just a little bit off today. Don't know what it is. But Ian and Dan are here with me. Guys, everything okay?
Good, thank you.
We'll pick up that 1% for you,
yeah,
Paul.
I know you will. You're the 1%ers.
That's right.
You're the ones all the politicians are always talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You're the 1% guys. And I represent the 99%. Right. What a beautiful day it is outside.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
I mean, we've definitely turned the corner. You know, the leaves are on the ground and the chill is in the air. And I heard there's a frost warning for tonight. Yeah. So, yeah, we're definitely turning that corner. I don't want to go all the way around the corner, though.
No.
I don't want to have a frost warning during the day.
No.
That's when you know it's bad.
They're very specific with the frost warning. They said between 1 in the morning and 8 in the morning tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So that's when you bring your plants and things of that nature in.
Do you have plants that you bring in?
I have one that Sandy bought. So it's a mum or something, so I have to bring that in.
I don't have any transportable plants.
No.
Anything we have outside the house is there, and it's going to have to make it through the winter or not.
Never spent time caring for a plant.
No.
I did have silk flowers out there, but she pulled those out of the pot and said it's time. We can't put those back until spring.
Wait a minute. They're silk.
I know. But
why do you have to bring them in?
Well, I'm not bringing them in. She took them out of the pot and put them in the garage, so because they're flowers and they're not supposed to be seen.
But they're
seen.
Silk. They're not real flowers.
Yeah, I know.
They're not supposed to be seen till spring?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? It's one of those don't wear white after Labor Day kind of things?
Yes.
I don't know any of this. Do you?
Yeah.
I don't. I'm not sure what plant
it
is.
Ghost. That man has flowers out in November.
I can't believe it. I can't believe those people have silk. They're obviously silk. I can see it from here, from the sidewalk. Boy, these people don't know anything about the autumnal etiquette.
Yeah.
They're horrible. Wow.
But I have to bring a mum in. My mummy.
Have you ever done any planting? Anything at all?
No.
Yes, I have.
Have you ever had a garden?
A long time ago. Long time ago when I was a kid growing up in Florissant. My dad had a garden, and I would help with that garden in the back of the yard. Our neighbors had a garden, and our other neighbors had a garden, and they would plant watermelons and have a watermelon contest.
Hmm.
And the one that had the biggest watermelon would get a malt. You know,
how many watermelons would be yielded each year? From that,
I don't. There wasn't a lot
because we have neighbors who it's a couple. They're retired, and she has a green thumb, and she's always growing stuff, and they love to grow tomatoes. But it's obvious to me that they have misplanned the number of tomato plants because every year they come over to our house.
Trying to give bushels of them away.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, it's everybody
it's actually
that.
Two big Deerberg's plastic bags. I mean, full of tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking to myself, well, I know you just went next door. She'll tell me, you know, well, we gave some to them and we're bringing some over to you. And
maybe they just like tending to that many plants.
Well, maybe that's it. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate it. They're, you know, they're delicious, but there's no
hobby.
Way there's no way I'm going to be able to consume that many tomatoes.
No, and you have if you have a couple of neighbors that have planted tomato plants, then you're set for tomatoes for you
yeah.
Know.
But you also have to be the kind of person that's going to turn those tomatoes into something. You got to be you got to be willing to make them into a sauce or something or you got to have tomatoes morning, noon, and night with every meal. Honey, what do we have for breakfast? Cereal and tomatoes.
Yeah.
What's for lunch today? Roasted tomatoes. What about for dinner? Well, I decided to make the tomatoes with the tuna in the middle.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so you're just having it all the time.
Ooh.
It's impossible.
Tomatoes with the tuna in the middle. Those are good.
Those are delicious. But again, you know.
After a while.
After the ninth day of every meal, adding tomatoes.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I'm brushing my teeth. With what? Tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know what happened? I had tomatoes earlier and one of the seeds got in here, so I thought I would use a tomato to brush my teeth with to get those out of there.
Tomato paste.
But you did say it was the wife that did that, right?
Well, I think that he may be involved in it as well, but she's the one who comes
I don't think, I mean, realistically, I probably lived half my life already, and I don't see at any point in the second half of my life beginning to
gardening?
Want to do any yard work. Because I walk around a lot in my neighborhood, and I see a lot of the old retired guys out in their yard tending to the... The three leaves that have fallen in the last 2 hours since they've...
We've got one of those total anal leaf guys in our neighborhood,
with the
too.
Manicured yards, and I just don't see myself wanting to spend time doing that. I don't know.
I had an old neighbor that cut down every tree in his yard, but we had... Everyone else had trees. So, you know, leaves are not...
They don't respect property borders.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Right, they don't.
He would try to give the leaves ownership to somebody.
I guess
your
so.
Leaves are in my yard.
Hey, your leaves are getting on my... Well, this one neighbor of ours, he was just way over the top when it came to his lawn. The bus stop used to be on his corner, and the kids would stand there in the morning, you know, usually kind of chilly, and they're moving about, and sometimes they would step off the sidewalk and step onto his lawn, and he would see them and go out there and yell at them. So a bunch of the parents got together and convinced the school district, could we possibly move the sidewalk to the next corner?
Move the literal sidewalk or just the bus
stop? No, I'm sorry, not the sidewalk, the bus stop.
The bus stop.
Can we make the bus stop on the other side of the street so we don't have to deal with this guy? Because you're not going to get 6-, 7-, and 8-year-old kids to obey those property borders any more than the leaves are.
Yeah. Right.
It's just not going to happen.
And what is a 6- or 7-year-old footprint going to do to his lawn?
I
nothing.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Bend those blades of grass.
Yeah.
What are you, crazy?
It's not like everybody was running across his yard and using it as a shortcut to get home from school or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
No, you're right. It was bending a few leaves of grass. And he's out there grooming those, you know. I wouldn't be surprised to find that he has one of them.
All those up now, straighten them back up.
Remember when you were a kid and your mom had that little black comb that had the teeth on both sides?
Oh, yes.
One was for the coarse hair and one was for the fine hair.
Right. Yeah, sure.
I would not be surprised to see that this guy was out there doing that manually because he was totally ADD about his lawn. OCD, not ADD.
Teasing his lawn.
So, yeah, I'm with you, though, and I have lived way more than half of my life, and there's no chance I'm going to start being the planting guy.
In the golden
guy
years, decide, hey, I'm going to go out there and get on my knees and dig in Mother Earth. And
when my wife and I retire,
pull some
fully,
weeds out of you.
No.
Honey, we have a pepper!
No. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to a guy today about problems with ash trees in our area. You know, there's this insect called the ash borer.
Oh, yeah, they get the...
They get in there, and they'll kill the tree, and we happen to have an ash tree in our front yard, and there's one on that little strip of grass between our house and the street.
The common ground.
Thank you. And technically that belongs to the city.
Yes.
And so I was asking him, you know, what should we do about this stuff? And he says, well, you can get this treatment. It's a company that comes and they'll do a treatment for you. Or you can go to Lowe's. I said, stop right there. Because if you're going to tell me that I can go and get the stuff and then come and I can do the treatment for the trees, that's not going to happen.
I had an ash tree.
I just know whatever it is, I'm just not going to do that. That's just not me.
No.
You're in St. Louis County, correct?
Yes.
I had that same exact thing happen. The ash tree died. At least half of it was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a hazard. I called the county. They came out, looked at it, and cut it down.
Was it on that little right-of-way?
Yeah, it was on the common ground.
That's what the guy told me today. He said, well, this tree that's in your front yard, that's yours, and you got to deal with that, and you're going to have to get that treated. This one over here at the end of your driveway, if that one dies, you just call the city, and they'll take it away.
Yeah, they'll come and they'll cut it down, and they'll also grind the stump.
Oh, they do. Good.
Oh, yeah, they grind the stump. And then they will offer you a tree to be planted anywhere else on your property, not on the common ground.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, they will. And they'll come in and they'll plant it, and I had that done.
Well, now I'm hoping that the ash borer comes and gets that one tree because...
Yeah.
Don't get any treatment.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
We lost a bunch of pine trees in our yard a few years ago.
Did you find them?
Something like an... thank you. Something like Austrian or Australian pine. I don't know which continent it came from.
Oh.
Some sort of pine disease came and just ruined the tree and had to have those taken out, and that was a real shame.
Did you get them a flu shot or something?
I have the flu shot myself.
You do?
That's the extent of my gardening work. I will go somewhere. I won't even get myself the flu shot. I got to go somewhere else and have them do it. But I'm with Ian. I'm not going to be out there digging. We will never have garden implements in our garage sitting there waiting to be used. We're not going to even own them.
The only thing I ever planted was like flowers in a big flower pot out front.
How'd they go?
Great.
Yeah. Silk?
I generally... No, they weren't silk. But you know what? I re-landscaped at one point, and thought about putting silk bushes in. Because those don't grow, and they look real.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about putting those in.
Have you ever been someplace, like a restaurant or a doctor's office or somewhere, and you see a plant?
Yeah.
And you cannot tell, is that real? Or is it not real?
We had that happen here, where we had someone watering the silk plants. True story.
Well, wait a second. Do you mean an employee or a service?
No, an employee.
Because we used to have a service here a long, long time ago. When I, when I was doing the midday show here full time, we had real plants in the lobby and around the various parts of the office. And there was a service, a woman, I don't remember her name, Susan, I think, who used to come through, and she would water the plants once a week all through the service, all through the office.
Well, somebody walked through and thought, oh, these are dry. So went and got some water.
And they're still dry. I guess I'm not watering them enough.
Those are silk.
Oh, I don't remember that, but that's very funny. Coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to introduce you to a woman from Bridgeton who wants to go to Mars. You know, that Mars One project that was announced a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
They had a couple of 100,000 people apply for the one-way trip to Mars, and she's in the top 100 now. Wow. They're down to the final 100, and she's in it, so she's going to join us here. I talked to her about 8 months ago, and she's going to come back in here and fill us in on where things stand for that. But I wanted to mention, I heard you two and Frank yesterday talking about McDonald's with the all-day breakfast thing.
Right.
And how you weren't happy about it because they didn't have everything that
it's regional,
you would expect.
Yes, by area, the limited menu varies.
So it may, the place you go to may have Egg McMuffins, or they may just have biscuits,
right,
or that sort of stuff. I read a story today in Business Insider that a lot of McDonald's franchisees are really not happy about having to do breakfast all day long.
Mm-hmm.
That it is reducing the amount of money that they're getting from customers, and it's increasing the amount of work they have to do. One franchisee wrote, "We have a small store, and we have people now falling over each other and equipment jammed in everywhere because we got to be able to make burgers and biscuits.
Sausage patties and bacon and eggs.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Another one wrote, all day breakfast is a non-starter. We are trading customers down from our regular menu to lower priced breakfast items, and we're not generating new traffic to make the money come up. So they're making less money because people, and they're not building new business. And another one said it leads to an erotic, distorted, erratic.
Wow.
I really need new glasses.
Whoa. I'm going to that McDonald's.
I worked at a McDonald's when I was 18 years old. There is nothing erotic.
Is that a hole in your McMuffin, or are you just happy to see me?
There is a, please tell me you're carrying condiments. No. We have to practice safe burger bag.
I have some in my wallet.
That's what I'm referring to.
Oh, one of the packets opened.
Right. Mayonnaise, sure. No, they said it was an erratic, distorted, disorganized mess in the back, and it's slowing down service and adding complexity to the kitchens. McDonald's says that this is only a small percentage of franchisees that have been complaining to them. I would think any amount of franchisees complaining is a bad thing, but they say, look, we have 14,000 restaurants in the United States, and this may be a couple of hundred who are complaining about this. On the other hand, our customers have been begging us for years to extend our breakfast hours. And right there, I think, is where McDonald's misunderstood what the public wanted. I don't think people really want to go get a McGriddle at 3:29 on a Friday afternoon, or at 7 o'clock at night, or even at lunchtime. I think what people were upset about was breakfast ending at 10:30.
Yeah.
If they would just extend breakfast to noon, so when the clock said a.m., you can still get breakfast, and in that 90 minutes from 10:30 to noon, okay, we're also going to start moving in our lunchtime stuff. You want to get a Big Mac or a quarter pounder? Okay, you can get that, and we'll still have Egg McMuffins. But at 3:30 in the afternoon or 9 o'clock at night, to still have to have the full array of whatever you consider breakfast stuff to be served alongside all of that other stuff that they serve on the rest of the menu, that's just a mess. Again, I'm remembering from when I was a kid, a teenager, working there, how just handling the regular amount of stuff on the menu, which was a lot less than it is now.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The variety of items you had on the menu there, that was enough of a hassle. But I don't really think people want breakfast all day. I just think we all knew that frustration of getting to a McDonald's at 10:35 in the morning and going, I'm sorry, we stopped serving breakfast.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago.
If they just made it noon, I think they would have been better off there. And I think the franchisees would agree with that as well. All right, let's take the break, and then we'll talk to Maggie, who wants to go to Mars next here on the Big 550.
Meet me.
And we're going to look at traffic right now with Tim Weiland.
Well, things are already running pretty heavy this afternoon. We are looking a little bit slow on eastbound 70 now from the Earth City Expressway up through Highway 270. But westbound 40, it's slow now. The Science Center through McCausland from Lindbergh out through Mason. We have southbound 270 looks good. Southbound 170 is pretty stacked up from Olive down through Highway 40. Eastbound 270 a little bit heavy right at Lindbergh. And on westbound 44 downtown for the Museo Veterans Bridge to the Poplar, you've got heavy traffic there. And this traffic report brought to you by Kohl's. Right now at Kohl's, take an extra 15% off. Spend $100 or more and take an extra 20% off. Go to Kohl's.com to download your savings pass. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details. I'm Tim Weiland with the Big 550 KTRS Traffic.
Premier Heating and Cooling. For all your heating and cooling needs, call Premier at 636-916-1122 or on the web at premierheatingcooling.net.
Green 18!
The Tigers play here on KTRS. This Saturday, our Mizzou Tigers travel to Athens to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. KTRS pregame coverage begins at 4, and the game begins at 6:30 p.m.
To the 20, to the 10, to the house!
I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers. Join Howard Richards, Chris Gervino, and me right here on the Big 550.
Touchdown, Missouri!
KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
The following is an incredible, life-changing free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing everything more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now, 1-800-400-1268. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear everything more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and even free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-400-1268. That's 1-800-400-1268. 1-800-400-1268.
I was coming out of the hardware store when I saw him. An old man, late 70s, hunched over in the freezing rain, no hat on his head, limping across that slippery parking lot, and pushing a row of shopping carts toward the cart corral. It's heartbreaking. Millions of hardworking Americans simply don't have enough money to retire, so they just keep working and working and working until it's too late. Hi, I'm Chad Stubbs, president and CEO of PowerTrader, and I believe that's just plain wrong. That's why I'm now distributing to the public absolutely free copies of PowerTrader's game-changing book on how regular folks can make the money they need to retire fast. For your free copy, call 1-800-400-3088. Don't let the lack of money rob you of your retirement. Call now for details and get your free copy of this book before it's too late. 1-800-400-3088. But hurry while supplies last. 1-800-400-3088. 1-800-400-3088.
In 1985, SelectQuote came up with a crazy idea. Comparison shop multiple life insurance companies for a customer's best price. No face-to-face meetings, no bias, just great rates from great companies. 30 years later, that idea doesn't seem so crazy. I'm Trudy Lum, a SelectQuote agent. Today, I found Tim, a healthy 35-year-old dad, a 10-year, $500,000 life insurance policy. His price? Under $19 a month. Since 1985, we've saved over a million families millions of dollars on life insurance. See how much you can save today.
Get your free quote now. Visit SelectQuote.com or call 1-800-900-1529. That's 1-800-900-1529. 1-800-900-1529. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Rural King in Farmington is now open for business. Great deals on pet supplies, consumables, tools, hardware, firearms, ammo, farm supplies, and more. Right now, save $3 on Remington 9mm 115 grain 50 count ammo, or save $70 on an H&R tactical shotgun. These deals and more at the 4-day grand opening event going on October 15th through the 18th. Visit RuralKing.com or stop by our location in Farmington at 3967 Bray Road. It's Rural King, America's farm and home store.
Let's say you're selling your home for $300,000. If you listed with me, you'll save $9,000 in commissions. Some agents can charge up to 7% commission to list your home, but I only charge 4%. And I pay the same amount of commission to a buyer's agent, helping you keep more money in your pocket at closing. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty, and I'm a licensed broker in the state of Missouri. And I can list your home on the MLS for 4%. When you want to save money on your next home sale, call me, 314-485-1414. 314-485-1414.
It's the Can-Am Yellow Tag Event, and now is the time to find your ultimate adventure. Whether cruising the open road with the Can-Am Spider or hitting the trails with Can-Am ATVs and side-by-sides, you can turn up the power and thrills with industry-leading performance and technology. Hurry in by October 31st and save up to $3,000 on select 2015 models and get up to a 3-year warranty.
Visit Big St. Charles Motorsports and online at BigSt.CharlesMotorsports.com.
Restrictions may apply. See your dealer for details. For safety and training info, contact the ATV Safety Institute.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian Geist, Dan Strauss here with me. And joining us here in the studio now is Maggie Duckworth, who is from Bridgeton, Missouri, and someday wants to be able to say, yes, I'm the one who's on Mars, because she applied a year or two ago for the Mars One program. Let me just tell you a little bit about what that is. I actually talked to the guy who started this thing a little over 2.5 years ago. His name is Bas Lansdorp. He's a Dutch guy who came up with this idea of putting humans on Mars, but not bringing them back. Now, When he first told me about this, I said, I have a former general manager who I would like to send and not bring back if we can do that. And he said, really, only one? I said, well, I would start with one, and then there might be others. But no, his idea is actually to put together a scientific mission to take human beings on that one-way mission to Mars and have them, in effect, colonize that planet. Well, after he announced that in 2013, there were something like 200,000 humans from around the globe who applied to be one of the first humans slash Martians. And Maggie Duckworth is one of those. And now here we are in 2015, and she's still in the running in the top 100. Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Paul. Thanks for having me here today.
Is it still 100 that you're...
There's still 100 right now, yeah. They're planning on breaking that down further next year. It'll be about September next year. So I have another year of being one of the 100. And at that point in time, when those groups are selected down further, it's going to be really based off of how well I get along with the other three Martians who I'm going to be spending the rest of my life with.
It's only four people going on the initial trip?
That's correct. It's four people for each trip. And, okay. And so in the first one, there's just going to be four.
Okay. What did you have to do to get to this point?
This point, there's been kind of 2.5 rounds. Originally, I had to submit a video. I had to write some responses to a number of essay questions that were looking to test my psychological profile, basically. I also had to do an in-person interview, over the phone interview, with the medical director, Norbert Kraft, and he asked some other questions that were also meant to test us psychologically. But I think they also take a look at my background and say, okay, we want to send people to Mars that have got the skills that they need, you know. I'm an electrical engineer as part of my background, but we also want to send people to Mars that are going to be interesting. And so my other half of my background is that I'm a customer. So I think I've got a little bit of both of those. So those were those two rounds. And there was an informal half round where we just have to prove that we're physically fit enough to go to Mars.
Okay. So the people who didn't make it, what was wrong with them?
I couldn't say for sure. Now, Dr. Kraft has actually put out a few videos online that are really interesting to watch. And he talks about what was selected out. And so what they were doing was they were specifically selecting out as opposed to selecting in. They were saying, these people don't meet the criteria in this way.
And we would not pick them up on the side of the highway, so we're not taking them to Mars.
Well, so there's people that are good, that would be good explorers. And those are not necessarily the same people that would be good colonists. But one of the questions that is asked is, okay, in 3 years' time, there's a ship, it arrives on Mars, and it can take you back to Earth. Do you go? And, like... a large percentage of people said, of course I go back to Earth. I want to go back and, you know, shake hands with the president, and I want to, you know, celebrate the fact that we've gone to Mars. And I said, no. I said, I'm going to stay on Mars. I signed up to do this. I'm going to do this. This is going to be my life if I make it to Mars. And I think those were one of those criteria that they were like, okay, you have to be in this group. You have to have that right answer to that question.
Well, you know what everybody's asking right now is why? Why do you want to go to Mars?
Well, in a very selfish way, I'd really like to be known for doing something that extremely awesome. But I think that as the human race, there are a lot of good reasons for us to go to Mars, not just specifically me. I think it's very inspirational. I think it's kind of a chance for us to be, you know, kind of superheroes of the cosmos. We're getting to Mars. We're going to learn all these things that are required to live on other planets so that we can then take those further. And what we learn on Mars can then be applied to, say, going outside of our solar system or setting up a colony on Pluto or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of good reasons to do that, and it'll also help us back here on Earth.
Okay. I asked you to come in here today, not only because I was interested in an update on your story, because you and I spoke in February,
yes,
but also because this Matt Damon movie, The Martian, is a huge hit. But the basis of the movie is we have six astronauts who are on Mars on our, I guess, third mission there, Ares 3. And a windstorm kicks up on Mars, and Matt Damon is presumed dead, and the others have to leave, or their ship is going to get knocked over, and they'll never be able to get out of there. And so Jessica Chastain and the others lift off from the planet, and they are headed back, and that's the story, except we find out that Matt Damon didn't die in that windstorm, and now he's alone on Mars.
Yes.
While watching this movie, did you go, okay, what if that's me?
Well, first of all, I went to see the movie with my parents. They actually asked me to go, and I kept looking over at them during critical parts of the movie to see how they were reacting. And it was very intense, but at the same time, they're disasters. It's a disaster movie. It just happens to be on Mars. And you look at it all in the same way. Whenever something goes wrong in your life, you have to take stock of that situation. you look around and say, okay, I'm still alive. That's point number one. We're good on that.
Yeah.
What do I need to do to keep being alive? And then after that point, what do I need in order to have a good rest of my life?
Yeah.
So you just kind of assess the situation and move on. And I thought that this was a really good movie about that, about how people can look at a situation and say, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's where I want to be. Here's my point A and here's my point B. And point B is not dying.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make it to that point B against those incredible odds.
And one of the things I admired about the movie is the whole concept of, I have a problem, I have to work the problem. That's all I have to do. I have to take care of this one thing that gets me from point A to point B. I'll worry about C, D, E, and F later on.
Right.
Right now, I got to get to keep me alive, and then what's the next problem?
Right.
But in the movie, he has to do all sorts of stuff, mechanical things. He's a botanist, so he has to grow things to keep himself alive because there's not enough of a food supply. I'm not spoiling the movie for anybody. I'm telling you essentially what's in the trailer here. And he has to, as he says, I have to science the crap the crap out of this.
Yes, he does.
So could you science the crap out of that?
I think that's something that was kind of exciting for me in watching the movie when I read the book before I saw the movie, is I looked at each situation and he'd say, okay, well, here's what I've got going on. And I was like, okay, well, how would I solve that situation? And his solutions were different than my solutions. And I thought that was interesting too. And I'm like, okay, well, what would have happened if I had done that? One of the examples being that he specifically creates water by using the hydrazide and then the oxygen. But Mars has already technically got water on it. There's ice in the soil. So I guess they must have been closer to the equator where they were at. But you could technically go outside and get water out of the soil without having to do that extremely dangerous situation in which he exploded himself.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the things that I was thinking about while I was reading the book as well.
Have you also done a lot of reading up on the science of Mars?
You kind of have to do a lot of reading up on the science of Mars if you're going to think about living there.
I would think so.
You want to research a neighborhood when you're selecting your house. So.
Yeah. So what was your parents' reaction after seeing the movie with you?
Well, my parents and I have a long history of dissecting movies after we watch them, so we spent the car ride home.
But this is a movie about somebody stranded on Mars, their daughter wants to be stranded on Mars.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as I'm going to be stranded on Mars with all the equipment I need to survive for the rest of my life, whereas Matt Damon's character was not left in that situation.
Okay. How is the equipment that's going to keep you alive forever going to get up there?
Oh, we're going to take it up there with us when we go. Well, for one thing, we'll have food, so that'll be the first problem solved.
But you're going to have to grow some food or develop some sort of system up there. You're not going to have 30, 40, 50 years worth of food on the ship with you.
And that's actually something I was very surprised about, is in the assumptions that when they were going up there to Mars, is that they were bringing all of their food with them. And of course, they were only planning on staying up there for, I think it was 6 months, but they physically brought all their food with them. And for me, I was like, you know what, it makes a lot more sense to be growing that food if you're going to be there for a length of time, because then you've got that extra bit. You can take a tiny seed and turn it into a full plant. That's really good for weight requirements. So when you're lifting off from Earth, you're saving yourself money there by doing that. And then you're also being able to take advantage of the energy at the site, you know, on-site resources. We can just use the sun to grow these plants, and then we've got our food.
Okay. But still, it seems like, in the movie, I didn't read the book, but I know in the movie, they also send missions up ahead of time, robot missions.
Yes.
To send a lot of the stuff ahead of time, and it crash lands there. And then when the humans get there, they have supplies on Mars. Is that also part of the Mars One plan?
Yes, that is part of the Mars One mission as well. You have basically every 2 years is your ideal window for getting to Mars. Every 2 years you can launch. It's called a home and transfer orbit. And basically it's when, Earth and Mars are both orbiting the sun. That's that point in time when they're kind of close to each other. We say close, we're talking probably still like 70 billion miles. But still, there's a lot of space that's out there. And you want to get that when they're the closest together that they can be. So you're going to send up a supply mission 2 years before you even are landing there. And that's what we were seeing in the movie, was he was able to go to that next site and use their supplies in order to, I don't want to spoil too much, but that's one of the things that he does.
And that will be part of the Mars One plan, is that you will send up a mission a couple of years before you go, and then a couple of years after you go, another mission would go, or maybe a robot mission would send you more supplies.
And technically, being launched at the same time as the first four astronauts are going to be the supplies for the next four astronauts. The one difference being in that for Mars One, we're all going to be landing at the same spot. It's not going to be a bunch of different spots around Mars. It's all going to be one colony in one area.
Okay. How long does it take to get there?
It takes about 7 months to get to Mars.
Okay. Now, everybody who's ever seen a space movie knows you go into hypersleep. right?
No, you're awake all seven months.
You lie down in the hyperbaric chamber, and Hal, the computer, if it doesn't kill you, wakes you up as you're approaching Martian space. That's not happening.
That's not reality, right? I don't believe we have that technology at this time on Earth, so it'd be a little hard for us to use it on the way to Mars.
Okay.
No, we'll be awake. So you have to kind of liken it to a seven-month-long road trip.
Okay.
Where the destination is Mars.
So are we there yet?
The answer is no.
There's going to be a lot of that. What month is it? What month is it? Yeah. What year is it?
Yeah.
But there'll also be a question of who goes along that you can get along with. And you talked about the psychological questions and that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. which leads to my question for you is, what kind of people would you want to have as the other three members of the mission?
I find myself to be a very logical person. I'm very, very problem-solving oriented. And I think I want to find some other problem solvers there. But I also want some other creative people with me because I don't want to be, okay, well, we've got our, you know, supposed 8 hours of work each day taking care of the plants and maintaining the equipment and doing whatever exploration we need to do. But we're also going to have that time to do our own things. And I really want people I can collaborate with. So I can make, you know, art on Mars as well. I can continue doing the things that I already do here, maybe other musicians so that we could make music together. And then we have, you know, our first Mars culture also coming out of Mars. So I think that would be fun to have people.
What do you mean
that.
Your first Mars culture?
Well, you know, anything we produce on Mars is technically be produced by Martians. So we'll be forming the Martian culture up there.
Yeah. See, I would have said scientists and engineers. That's just me. That would be the people I would want to have up there because I'm not going to know how to do a lot of that stuff. I want to have all of them. And by the way, if Jenkins brought his guitar, fine.
Oh, right, Jenkins right. is going?
You know, Jenkins is disqualified, oh. actually.
Well, you got to keep in mind, we're also going to have at least 8 years of training before we go there. And you can, you know, get a degree in pretty much anything in 8 years. So we'll be able to have people already that know how to, you know, do medical procedures and know how to, you know, do engineering procedures to maintain everything that needs to be maintained.
So what is the timeline now for the Mars One mission?
As of right now, starting in, I believe, 2018, there are missions set every 2 years. One of them being just a demonstration lander just to prove, hey, Mars One can actually get to Mars.
Let's stop right yeah. there. Before we go on with the timeline,
yeah.
do we have the technology to take people to Mars right now? Because 2018 is 3 years.
Yeah, no, that's only 3 years. I think Mars One believes that we do. Mars One believes we have this technology, and I've done a lot of research, and Mars One is right to a certain degree. Theoretically, right now, we can. We don't, I mean, if we put humans on a spacecraft tomorrow, we don't know if it would actually succeed because we haven't tried some of those technologies. But we have those technologies. We've been able to land relatively heavy things on Mars with Curiosity rover. We've been able to get to Mars reasonably successfully, at least the last few attempts. So I think 8.5 out of the last 10 have succeeded. That's a pretty good track
record. That's not enough for me. I want 11 out of 10 right, before I'm yeah. getting on there.
And you know, we still have missions that are going to Mars that are succeeding today. So there's a lot more technology that is coming in. And every bit that comes into us says, okay, well, we're kind of getting used to doing this. We're kind of getting to the point where we can do this on a regular basis.
Okay, so who is going to do it in 2018? Is NASA involved in this? Is Elon Musk involved in this with SpaceX? Who's sending up whatever the first part of the mission is in 2018?
The first part of the mission is being constructed by a few different companies that Mars One has contracts with, Lockheed Martin being one, SSTL, which is Surrey Satellite Technology Limited, is out of England. They're constructing the satellites that are going to be sent up there with it as well. And Mars One has been in contact with these people. They've gotten contracts that are for different, you know, schematics and stuff like that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Lost my thought for a second.
Okay.
So they've already got a lot of that underway. Now, Mars One's biggest challenge, obviously, is funding. They have to be able to keep money coming in order to get it. But it's not involving NASA. It's just a group of people that think that they can get to Mars and that are working to do that.
And where's the money coming from?
Money's coming from various investors. Investors would receive kind of a payoff when Mars One's actually getting to
they get to
Mars.
The right,
yeah.
They get the right to your art.
Yeah. That's kind of how it is. There's a lot of different ways. And also, one of the cool things about Mars One is that anybody can contribute. Anybody could go to the website right now and, you know, buy a Mars One t-shirt, or they can just donate a little bit of money. So it's something that the entire world can essentially fund.
Is Boz still planning the reality show?
That's part of the investment payoff is when we actually go to Mars, all those advertising rights and those licensing rights, those will be part of, those will belong to the investors.
Now, I got to say, when I saw The Martian and I reviewed it on this show 2 weeks ago, one of the things that kind of was a pet peeve of mine, was the scenes in the movie where all the people of the Earth are gathering in Times Square and Tiananmen Square and Red Square and anywhere there was a square, and watching what was happening to Matt Damon's character, Mark Watney, and his rescue from Mars and all the other parts of it. I don't think in the 21st century we go to squares to watch that.
Yeah, we sit in our living rooms.
We have a thing in
TV
our pocket
here,
that gives us the video.
Or pull it out on our phone, exactly.
Or watch it on your TV at home, yeah. Exactly. But I wasn't scoffing at the notion that we would all watch, especially on the first mission.
Yeah.
Because I can remember, I'm old enough to have watched the first steps on the moon in July of 1969, and that brought the entire globe together. You know, we were in the nation stages of television in those days, and it was black and white, and it was snowy.
But now, you could see it.
You could see
somebody walking on the moon.
You could see somebody getting off of the Eagle and touching foot on the moon, and that was stunning. And we certainly would do that again. But with the Apollo missions, one of the reasons they stopped after Apollo 17 is humans got bored. Oh, we're going back to the moon. Been there, done that. I wonder if the same would ever happen with Mars. I'm excited for this to eventually happen because I want to see whether it's you or other humans going up there. I want to see us take that step, and I think we would all watch. But I could also see us all going, eh, what are the Kardashians doing?
right. We've been to Mars, and why do we want to send four more people up there? And that's actually that's a very real concern. It's once we get people up there, however, if we have people staying up there, then there has to at least be a little bit of interest, because now we've got humanity on Mars and we want to make sure that they're alive and we want to check in on them every once in a while. I don't think it'll have the same impact as that initial landing will. But I think if we do have something established up there and there are people that are not able to come back, people are going to want to know what those people are doing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, 10 years down the line, hey, you remember those people that landed on Mars? Are they still alive? Let's find out.
So if you get picked and you go to Mars, are you going to be here before you leave? Are you going to just max your credit cards out and go crazy? Because they're not going to be able to get you bills or anything up there.
Somebody once asked me about tax evasion on Mars, and I was like, well, I think at the point that I've left the Earth's atmosphere, there's not too much they can do about
that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just thinking about the reality TV aspect of this. Ian, greatest episode of The Amazing Race ever.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the options are limitless.
Okay.
Yeah, but you won't have the money, though. I mean, even if you have the money, you won't be able to spend it anywhere on Mars.
Oh, you're talking about the prize?
Yeah.
Well, see, you could. I mean, we're still going to have to order television programs that we want to watch. You know, we got to get our Hulu subscriptions up there on Mars. And I bet there would be a market back on Earth for some of the things that we learn up there. I think there's going to be some scientific advantage that we're going to make that we should be able to sell back.
Well, that's one of the great things that the space program has brought to us is all these inventions that are now a part of our everyday life. And I would hope that when we do get to Mars that would increase exponentially. So 2018, the first robot mission, shall we say, is going to go up there. And then let's get back to the timeline. What happens after that?
Well, after that mission is a success, they're going to start setting up some of the actual equipment. They're going to send up a rover, I think, 2 years after that, that's going to actually start hunting for the ideal landing site. Once it finds that ideal area where that colony is going to be set up, then they're going to start sending the supplies 2 years after that. Then the rover is going to move those supplies so that they're all actually in the same spot, because when you send something to Mars, it's not going to land exactly where you want it to. Mm-hmm. We have enough problems doing that here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So then... It'll collect
Damn,
all those
Apple
things.
Maps told me the wrong way again.
Right. So it'll collect all those pods that we've sent up there, and it'll kind of do some loose assembly so that when we actually land on Mars, we'll pretty much be able to get out of our spaceship and go and get into a functioning life support unit on Mars.
Okay. And when does that happen?
Well, our launch will be in 2026. So we'll be landing on Mars in 2027.
11 years from now, you're planning on leaving the planet forever.
Yes.
Now, let's go back to Mom and Dad and the movie, and you're sitting in the movie theater. And they already knew about this for a long time because you applied for this
several years ago.
What do they think about the idea? What do they think about it then? And what do they think about it now?
Their gut reactions initially was definitely surprise. And since then, I've seen them go back and forth between surprise and being proud of me and not wanting me to do it and thinking it's stupid and thinking it's a waste of time and back to being proud again. So I think the movie was the same journey for them.
Yeah. And how has it been for you? Have there been any days along the way where you looked in the mirror and said, Maggie, what are you thinking?
Well, there's been a few days. Usually they're when I have to get up particularly early to go into a talk somewhere, which was not today.
Yeah.
but there have been times where I'm like, okay, this is going to be a lot of work. This is going to be a lot of effort. This is going to completely change the way that I'm living right now and then that I intend to live for the rest of my life, especially if I do end up launching.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've ever not wanted to do it. I've always wanted to do it. Sometimes I just don't want to do the thing I'm having to do right then.
Yeah. Okay, so the next hurdle you have to overcome is probably in the next year or so when they winnow it down to
the
next group.
Their next selection rounds are mostly going to involve a lot of group training. So we're going to kind of be sectioned off into relatively large groups to see how well we problem solve together so that they can select out our individual groups of four.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's anybody that doesn't seem to be like a good team player in general, they'll be selected out at that point in time. And then we'll get paired up into those groups. And then those groups are going to go through challenges together and we're going to see what the best groups are. So I think their end goal is to have about six groups that they believe any of those six groups could go to Mars.
Well, this is all very, very exciting, and I'm thrilled that you're still in the hunt for this, and I hope you'll keep me posted and come back and talk about the adventure as it moves forward. And
hey, let's plan on 2028.
Yeah.
We all go, and Maggie cooks turkey dinner, and we have Thanksgiving on Mars.
There you go.
I thought you were going to say we could do a live interview. Technically, we can't because it takes 22 minutes for the signal from Earth to get to Mars and 22 minutes for it to get back the other way.
Really?
So I would ask her a question and then we'd have the longest commercial break, even longer than a Landoff commercial. That's how long it would be.
Wow.
But we'll work something out and Maggie will be back with updates on what's going on, right?
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to see you again.
Well, thanks so much for having me in here today.
Maggie Duckworth, who wants to be one of the first Americans, one of the first humans to go colonize Mars. Remarkable story. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And we're going to check traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Can we volunteer Dan to go?
Oh, that's nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, really. Boy, traffic is really built up here on eastbound 70 from Grand to the through westbound 44 in the depressed section. Now, we've got some kind of debris or something going on out on westbound 44 near Six Flags that's causing a slowdown. Southbound 170 is stop and go from Olive down through Highway 40. And now we're looking at slow traffic from Page down through Ladue and then stop and go from 40 down through Doherty Ferry on southbound 270. This traffic report brought to you by Staples. They have more for less on everything your business needs to make more happen every day. Plus free shipping and up to 5% back when you sign up for Staples Rewards. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Hi, this is Monique from Soul School. Join us Sunday nights at 5 p.m. To learn more about our 5-week Soul School Academy program, contact us at stlcenterforhope.com.
Hi.